It's a beautiful morning.
First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
And here we are.
Good morning.
John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX 92.7. Wow, the big story's coming up.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes past the hour. A clear start this morning. We'll see more clouds along the way and highs in the mid to upper 50s. Right now, 42 degrees. Mike McCabe coming up in about a half hour. Just so you know, we've had a little bit of technical difficulty for our first hour. We're working on that. So if you've been trying to call us or text us.
The phone lines are out. Texting is out.
Yeah.
Everything.
But we're aware of it and we're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The big story. I'll tell you what. Let's play the cut that I wanted last hour from Border Czar Tom Homan.
Ah.
I think this all just kind of applies here. And this is cut 210. He has an amazing comment, okay? And this kind of leads into what we're going to talk about out of Chicago. So let's listen to Tom Homan.
They're not pulling back out. They continue to do it. And this weekend at the No Kings protest, I watched more of the rhetoric. They've lost their minds. And I'm telling you, the bloodshed's not over if we don't address the rhetoric.
The bloodshed is not over.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Game on.
Yep. So now what we're looking at is a violent extremist patrol commander by the name of Greg Bovino. This guy is outrageous. If you have a chance to see any of the videos on X or any of the social media outlets, check it out. He's insane. All right. And U.S. District Court Judge Sarah Ellis ordered Homeland Security officials to turn over all their reports, all their reports and body-worn camera footage that the agency has in connection with the Chicago area crackdown. She also ordered agents to provide information on anyone arrested down there. And Customs and Border Patrol Commander at large, Gregory Bovino, he violated her orders in tear gassing protesters in a raid on a Chicago Mexican neighborhood. And that's just one example. There's actually video of him standing before a crowd of protesters. They're just protesting. They're standing there. And he decides to open up a canister of tear gas and tosses it into the crowd. No reason why. Just did it. That's the kind of guy that's in charge in Chicago. This is outrageous stuff. You have to see it. Now, Chris Hayes did a bit on this. I hate to appear the conduit of MSNBC here on the show, but we're gonna play it anyway. This was a great reveal. You got to check this out. This is crazy, nutty stuff. 244 is the cut. Let's listen.
Here we go.
Chris Hayes, Donald Trump wants to use the Department of Homeland Security as the state apparatus to impose his rule on us in this country. And it's been clear from day one. It gets clearer every day. And much has been said, including on this program, about Trump calling the military into our cities. He threatened to do it again today, speaking to service members. But day to day, hour by hour, the masked agents conducting the worst violations against our constitutional rights have almost all been under the DHS umbrella, like the people you see there on your screen. Those agents have been the ones tackling people to the ground and tearing them from their cars and snatching people from their places of work and detaining, roughly, I would add, citizens and non-citizens alike. And one of the most notorious figures out there has been this man, a guy by the name of Greg Bovino. He is a senior official with Customs and Border Protection, another DHS agency, one that is seen within the Trump administration as more willing to go along with the most aggressive parts of its mass deportation scheme than other agencies, even like ICE. And in many ways, Bovino has become the face of this project. Mm-hmm. You may recall, remember that July raid on LA's MacArthur Park, where agents in armored vehicles and with guns and horseback disrupted a children's summer camp, like during a random summer day.
A summer
camp. Bovino was the guy who went on TV to tell them both effectively to take a hike.
The federal government is not leaving L.A. I don't work for Karen Bass. The federal government doesn't work for Karen Bass. We're going to be here till that mission's accomplished, as I said, and better get used to us now, because this is going to be normal very soon.
Now, Bovino has since moved on to the administration's operations in Chicago, which they've called Operation Midway Blitz. The guy was caught on camera personally throwing a can of tear gas at just protesting civilians, observers, during a raid on a parking lot last Thursday.
After previous orders limiting tear gas, Bovino was seen throwing a gas canister in Little Village this week. DHS claimed he was hit by a rock.
And then it went from there to the clashes with individuals that were, they call it protesting, I call it rioting.
According to a legal filing, one of Bovino's agents that very same day pointed his actual gun at a protester, happened to be a U.S. veteran, and said, quote, bang, bang, and you're dead, liberal. Now, it's worth noting that there is an existing temporary restraining order placed by a judge on October 6th, which prohibits federal agents from using chemical munitions in Chicago, as well as one near a Halloween parade in a residential neighborhood this weekend. This is after the restraining order, right?
The federal agents began lobbing tear gas around 9:50 Saturday morning. That's just minutes before the scheduled start of an annual Halloween parade organized by the Old Irving Park Association.
You had folks who were literally out on the street taking their kids to this Halloween parade when this happened.
Wow.
And I didn't see anybody with a weapon. I didn't see anybody make physical contact with these agents.
And so Bovino was forced to answer for himself in court today. Now, the court obviously believes he needs to be reined in. The judge ordered Bovino to appear in court, get this, every weekday, every day, to provide a status report on his actions in Chicago. He will also be forced to turn over use of force reports and accompanying body camera footage. He and his agents are now required to use body cameras. Bovino sure appeared defiant after leaving court today, hanging out from the door of his car in the face of large, crowd of protesters.
Just amazing. That's enough to stun your senses, isn't it?
Right.
Having a person like this out in Chicago causing this much trouble, purposely, and intimidating people around him. And then, of course, you know, bothering kids going out for Halloween, a camp out in L.A. It is truly a stunning moment.
It is. And
it's not going to stop either. Trump the other day, threatened to send more than the national. Let's listen to this cut here. This is cut 245. This is what Trump promised to do.
Okay.
Our people in the service, and you know, people don't care. If we send in our military, if we send in our National Guard, if we send in Space Command, they don't care who the hell it is. They just want to be safe.
Space Command.
And we're doing that with all of our cities that are troubled. We have cities that are troubled. We can't have cities that are troubled. And we're sending in our National Guard. And if we need more than the National Guard, we'll send more than the National Guard, because we're going to have safe cities. We're not going to have people killed in our cities. And whether people like that or not, that's what we're doing.
Wow. Whether you like it or not, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I can't wait till Space Command shows up.
Me too. Maybe they'll have a couple of shirt patches that I...
Jeez.
Beware of the blob. Yeah. Creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor. Like the door break all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that is incredible.
Well, we'll keep an eye on Chicago. In fact, we're going to talk to Steve Cochran on Monday, our Chicago correspondent, podcaster, and radio guy, and he'll give us some of the latest, too.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's continue on here with our own Sean Duffy. You know, he's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He represented Wisconsin in the House for a while, and now he is...
Transportation secretary, right?
he's got a few jobs.
Well, he's dealing with the
He's doing what Pete Buttigieg did,
right?
But not
that
quite
job.
As completely.
Well, he's got his hands full with the air traffic controllers,
he
not
sure
getting
does.
Paid, but they're still on duty and they're on furlough.
That's
but,
right.
They're not getting their money.
Now, the major difference between MAGA and everyone else, and I'm talking about everyone else. Everybody else is Antifa, okay? If you're not MAGA, you're Antifa. And they're comfortable with occupying cities. They're very, very comfortable with that. They're ragtag, masked military force keeping us all safe. We're trading freedom for security, aren't we? Okay, well, here's Duffy chasing all the clouds away in New York City. Let's listen to 241.
I guess I with MTA, I have a little some other concerns. I do think if you're a Democrat, you're a liberal, you don't like cars, and you want people to ride public transportation, I think that's wonderful, good for you. But if you want us all to ride public transportation, make it safe, make it clean, make it beautiful, and then you don't have to argue about your cars or your subways. Everyone wants to ride the subway because it's faster and it's safer, and kids can get on it, and families can ride without fear of life and limb and liberty. And I don't know why New York can't do that. It shouldn't be a big, I mean, well, I don't know why I have to convince the governor to actually get engaged and say, we're going to make the subway safer and cleaner. I shouldn't have to. I think there should be an uprising in the city that you all want to ride your subway as you pay for it, and you should feel, you know, free from crime when you do it. And again, this shouldn't be complicated, but it seems like in the city, with your, not by the people, but the leadership doesn't seem to get that.
Well, you know what they do? Of course, you know, having an occupation is just a false sense of security. It's really supposedly chasing all the crooks and gunmen away, you know. It's just kind of ridiculous. But New York was doing all of what he said they should be doing with congressionally approved money, $18 billion that they were going to use to chase all the criminals away and take care of the city and make the subway safe again and mass transit safe again. But MAGA's, they decided not to spend that $18 billion. They withdrew that funding for New York City, so they can't do any of that. Isn't it? So they're creating a problem now they're solving with occupying the city, or at least what they want to do.
That's what they're trying. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. And by the way, subway crime plunged 18% in the first quarter of 2025, the second lowest in 27 years, with zero murders for the first time in 7 years. Okay? All right. They're always solving problems that don't exist. now, get this. Crimes per 1 million in mass transit trips, okay? This is a statistic.
Okay.
New York City, 1.3 crimes per 1 million.
Per 1 million?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, okay. 1.3. Okay. Miami, 2.6. Not doing quite as well. And in Dallas, get this, 38%.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh. So from New York City, 1.3 to 38 is a dramatic change. Wow. But, you know, for some reason, Dallas isn't isn't occupied yet.
Yeah,
why is that?
Well, you know, they have a Texas governor.
Oh, wait, that's it.
I mean, a Republican governor
in
Texas.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Greg Abbott.
That's right. Yeah.
Hot Wheels.
Okay. All right.
It leaves you breathless, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm speechless at the moment, but that'll change. 19 minutes past the hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will join us, Substack author and blogger. And much more straight ahead. John and Gordy, WMDX.
WMDX 92.7. Well, it's the Space Cowboy.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Sure. We were talking about Space Force before going
right,
into Chicago
Space Force,
sometime.
Exactly.
It's 23 past the hour.
You know, I just want to, you know, have another story about Charlie Kirk because I don't like him.
Okay.
But we've got that. But I really want to identify the fact that we do not have our phones or text or anything like that. So we apologize for that. They're working on that problem as we speak.
But you can still contact us on, you can still comment on Facebook and YouTube. So go to those channels.
If you have to say something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I know we're saying it for you this morning.
Okay.
All right. This is so surreal. The governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, went to LSU and challenged the board to find a spot for a Charlie Kirk statue.
You know,
we've got a shutdown going on. They're trying to find the money to fund all of these other sources that they need to get, you know, food and all that, but you know,
LSU also, I mean, aren't they busy doing other things? They just fired their coach, Brian Kelly, who came from Notre Dame.
Landry fired the coach.
Yes.
Right. that was something else he did.
That was on his list of things to do.
Yes. So anyway, he's out there trying to get a spot for Charlie Kirk's statue. So let's listen to Cut 242.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Governor Jeff Landry here tonight wanting to thank the entire Turning Point family. Because tonight, unbelievable, over 1,500 people came to listen to Turning Point USA. Thank you. Big shout out to LSU Turning Point. And so we're here on campus next to Mike the Tiger, and we're going to put a challenge out to the LSU Board of Supervisors to find a place to put a statue of Charlie Kirk to defend the freedom of speech on college campuses. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if we can be the first campus to do it.
Oh, boy. Yes, the first campus to do
it. Great.
There's a reason for that, that no one's done it so far. Okay, Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, taking care of the big problems. By the way, he also called a special session to change election dates in case the Supreme Court weakens the Voting Rights Act so he can cut black congressional representation. So he's hard at work.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Run that by me again.
So, he's asked for a special session to change the election dates. Because if the Supreme Court says, you know, the Voting Rights Act can't do this or that, and you can't have these special districts, then he is going to cut those black congressional representation districts.
Okay.
As quickly as he possibly. He's getting ready for it. He's getting ready. He anticipates that the Supreme Court will eventually do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
Yeah. You know, I just hope that we get over this cutesy mega stupidity before it's too late. You know, we have fun with this, but oh, man. Okay. We've heard, by the way, that Amazon is cutting 14,000 jobs to make room for AI, which doesn't need a lot of room. At least there won't be many birthday cards to sign at Amazon in the not-too-distant future.
You have this thing about birthday card signing.
I really don't.
What happened to you as a child with Hallmark birthday cards and American greetings cards?
A lot of times you don't know who these people are, and you're saying, happy birthday, you have a good one. You know, it's like, I feel so disingenuous doing that. I just don't want to fake it. You know, I don't want to do that.
Maybe if you spent a little more time around the office, you would know some of these people.
That would happen, yes. But I think that the John and Gordy auto pen for birthday card signing is still a pretty damn good idea.
Okay. Good enough.
By the way, you know, all of these layoffs, was this really a necessary thing before the holiday season? I mean, they really couldn't have waited. Amazon's 2024 annual revenue was $638 billion, which averages out to about $2 billion per day. So they had to get rid of 14,000 jobs during the Thanksgiving Christmas season. They had to do it. They had to do it now. They don't want to certainly waste all that money on the American public. My God. Amazon said the reduction was needed to ensure the company had the right structure to drive efficiently, and that this fuels the fears that technology may drive headcount reductions at all the other major employers in the country.
Well,
and
yes.
It seems like that's happening because they're adopting AI.
Yeah. So Amazon cutting how many?
14,000.
Yeah. UPS is cutting 48,000.
Wow.
48,000. Well, that's what they've cut so far, year to date.
Well, the country's roaring ahead under Trump, isn't it? I mean, we are really just
winning.
Definitely.
Winning. This is winning, yes. I guess.
Yeah, well, and a little pain at the supermarket, that's okay. Mm. You know, things will stabilize after you pay more and will continue to pay more for the rest of your life. As long as it's stable, that's all they're working on right now, okay? All right. Anyway, the good news, of course, is that the Senate decided to do away with the tariff on Brazil so we can get our coffee again.
Need the coffee. Gotta have coffee.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess a lot of morning people had a lot of say in that.
Well, the Senate.
The House isn't going to do
it. No, they're not even going to take up the bill.
The Senate passed it.
Right.
They had a bipartisan bill, and they passed it. But the House, you know, Mike Johnson is really...
It's doing nothing. They're not doing anything during
the
shutdown.
They're not going to do anything. This is Christian nationalism. Mm. Mike Johnson is the head of this.
Okay. 729, straight ahead. News, or let's see, the Midwest Food and Farm Report, of course. Yep. That's ahead. And then Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, will join us in our next half hour. Stay right here. John and Gordy.
With just the conspiracies, you know, instead of reality being just like the conspiracies. Mm. This is John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX 92.7. We've had trouble with our telephone lines, and I understand
and
that at least we're getting some static on the phone line. Can we check and see if that static is present on the phone line right now? Can
really?
We just check?
Yeah.
Just go to the phone line. Just go to the phone line to see if the... See
is
if,
it working?
Is the static there?
We want to just check to see if the
just
phones
to see
are
if
working.
It's working.
Okay.
Oh,
who's
you guys are awesome.
Well, our phones were not working before. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And the text line is not working.
It's great to hear that it's working
somehow. This is CJ from the Southern Conservative Precinct of Florida calling in to correct you guys because it's day 29 of Up Chuck Schumer and Tammy Baldwin's shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we watch the Chicago mayor try to redefine what illegal undocumented immigrants are, you know, the real facts speak for themselves. You talked about inflation and the cost of living.
Yeah.
But you fail to go back, read each year of inflation underneath Joe Biden.
Yeah.
21.5% over four years, guys.
But we know that that happened because of the supply chain problems that we had. And then, of course, there was greedflation. The corporations decided to jump on board and increase their prices and reduce the amount of product they have in their boxes.
Okay.
That is what really happened. But anyway, now I guess we have the phone lines back. For
good
some reason, CJ was able to jumpstart our lines again.
Yeah.
How did he do
thank
that?
Thank you, CJ.
He was just testing. 7:37, time for us to welcome in Mike McCabe to the studios here at WMDX.
Yes.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Mike is an author of Miracles Along County Q and Substack blogger, and we have him in every Wednesday. So what's on your mind today?
Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
Your latest article is about, your blog is about America being childish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. The title was self-explanatory. Time to grow up. the F up.
you can't say it on the radio.
Right. No.
Yeah. Well, that's not one of the words I'm trying to say. I want to get the S word out there, but yes, F is next.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, yes, it's, you know, I think that's where all the frustration comes. You know, we see all of this, and they always want, the MAGAs always want to own the liberals for some reason. And there's never a limit to how many times they want to own us. So they keep trying and keep trying, and they enjoy every second of trying to own us and make us angry, you know, and libtears, you know, they want to sell the libtears. I don't get this. I don't understand. Well, isn't there a limit to how many times they can do this without harming themselves, actually?
You know, I think there's childishness on a lot of different levels that is underneath.
Well, you're looking at us now.
What's
when
going,
you say that.
what's going on with our country? There's childishness that is underneath a lot of it. But then it also gets fueled or inflamed by social media. Because the algorithms are geared to promote conflict. And,
right.
You know, and I think those who are in charge of designing those algorithms realize that that conflict and hate and having people at each other's throats keeps people scrolling, keeps people online longer, and then subjects them to more advertising. And so they gear this to encourage and to empower and to promote that kind of behavior, and it is childish behavior. And so people, you know, people are saying that they own each other and all this kind of crap.
Yeah.
And but you know, I think I write about, you know, even a deeper level of childishness, the fundamental nostalgia that is at root of a lot of what's gone haywire with America. There's this belief that somehow there were these good old days that where everything was perfect and it was all wine and roses. And of course, every, you know, living generations are not alone in facing some hardship and facing some difficult or challenging times. This country's been through a lot, a civil war, two depressions, including the Great Depression. World wars, you know, there are deceased generations who faced real crises that are, you know, were of staggering proportions, and they found their way through it. But you know, there's this belief that somehow if we go back to the 1920s or if we go back to the 1890s, that would be somehow better. Instead of facing the challenges we've got right now and dealing with the reality of life in America in the 2020s, we have this sort of childish nostalgia that if we just go back, if we turn back the clock, everything will be better, everything will be okay. And that's a fairy tale.
You gave a great example of children, you know, the protection that they got from their parents and the comfort they had from not having to deal with any problems whatsoever.
Well, yeah, you know, I one of the things I say in the article is that nostalgia is born of youthful bliss.
Yes,
right.
Because you know, we think that everything was simpler and everything was better back then. It's because we had parents who shielded us from the harsh realities of life.
Exactly.
They didn't want to expose us too early to, you know, to the, you know, the complications and the contradictions of adult life. And so, yeah, you know, we look back fondly at that time, but it's born of youthful bliss. And, you know, and if you really deal with life as it is, with it, there's beauty in it, but there's also ugliness in it. And you've got to be able, a mature outlook takes that whole picture and deals with it in a responsible way.
Well, we had a kind of a special kind of generation. We had the silent generation, taking care of us and keeping us from all of these problems. At the same time, they never told us what those problems were, even when we got older. So and I think when we discovered all those problems, we got angry and bitter, and some of us held it in, and now we're trying to get even or back at people.
And that was the other form of childishness that I bring up in the article, and that's cynicism. Once you are sort of once you become aware of all of those complications and all those challenges, all those difficulties, you know, all the harsh realities of life, then, you know, some people kind of remain in a state of suspended adolescence. They start waking up to the reality of adult life, and they get cynical about it. And then they start expecting the worst. They just assume everything's going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And that's just as childish of an outlook as the nostalgia is. And actually, one of the things I said is that we now have sort of a marriage of nostalgia and cynicism that has produced the current national mood in this country. When you then have that level of childishness that is sort of underneath what's going on in our country, and then you add in things like those social media algorithms that reward snark and reward the tackiest, most petty behavior imaginable, it just inflames it all. And our country's got to grow up in that sense. We've got to deal with the fact that we can't turn back any clocks. We're living in 2025. We got a host of challenges facing us, and we might as well just face them head on. And none of what we face is too big to handle, but we sure are acting like it is too big to handle. But it's not. The problems we got are manageable. But
yes,
but
they are.
But we are in this current way of thinking that all is lost and we're doomed. And that, to me, that's the thing that makes all of this so much. You know, I was listening to you guys on the drive into the studio and, you know, talking about what's going on in Chicago and talking about so many of the things that are going on in our country and around the world. Mm-hmm. All of those are big challenges, but man, it's made all the worse if we bury our heads in the sand and we act like children and we don't.
We make it worse by acting like children.
We absolutely do make it worse by acting like children.
And CJ says it's not childish, it's being factual.
Well, you know, CJ offers an awful lot of comic relief whenever he calls in, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's what we think.
And does he, you know, does he really live in Florida, by the way?
No.
I think he told us he has a home down in Florida.
And he's got too darn much time on his hands if he's living in Florida and calling in here. Yeah, you know, and I wouldn't expect anything less of him to say that it's not childish. It's not realistic to have that kind of view of the world, that everybody's out to get you and that you've somehow, you're dealing with hardship that has never been faced before in the history of humanity, when that just isn't true.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard and life also is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if you can't see both at the same time, then you are not mature. You are not grown up.
We're talking with Mike McCabe. He's a Substack blogger and an author. You mentioned in this latest article, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, some of his observations. Yeah. He's got a great
Email.
He's written a number of books.
That people can get subscribed to.
Fun stuff. He is a Substack author as well.
Oh, he is, too.
Yeah. He is, and that's where I pulled those quotes from that I included in my article. It was a recent piece that he wrote for Substack, And here's a guy who, I think he's now in his 80s, but he's at least late 70s, and his body's breaking down, and he, you know, one of the things he says is that with age, we get smaller, shrink, not only in physical stature, but in the way the world sees us. You know, you hear older people talk about being invisible, like people, you know, young people don't even see us anymore. They just, you know, run past us and we're going slower and kind of shuffling along and they don't even see us. And Kareem talks about that. And here's a guy who is 7'2" tall. Yeah. The picture of grace and towering strength, was this amazing athlete, one of the all-time greats at his sport, and of course the body is betraying him now. But what it's getting him to is this more realistic sense of self. It's humbling him, but in a way that helps him deal with life in a more mature and responsible way. And his words are beautiful. I don't do them justice repeating them here on the air, but yes, he is one of the many Substack authors out there. That's where I found his writing, and it's really worth checking out.
Yeah. Well, I have it here. We always get smaller. others see us as oldsters. Mm-hmm. It's an emptying of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I mean, this really had a big impact on me when I was reading it, because I always felt bad about a grandfather that we didn't talk to enough. We didn't say anything.
Isn't
to
that
him.
The truth?
And, yeah. and when we think about in our own minds that we're younger in our heads, in our thoughts, our bodies look old. Yes. And we went by the body and we didn't think about what was going on up in his head. Mm-hmm. And I feel horrible that we didn't at least talk enough.
We've all got grandpas and grandmas like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That we didn't talk to
didn't
enough.
Spend enough time with.
Yeah.
7:48. We're here with Mike McCabe. We'll come back after this on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy in the Morning.
A few more minutes left here with Mike McCabe, our columnist friend, Substack blogger and author, comes in every Wednesday.
Let's clarify, Kareem is 78.
He's 78 years old.
We looked it up.
Yep.
78 years old.
Yeah.
He's trying to deal with old age.
Not as famous as he once was, but you know, seems to have settled into... his later years very smoothly.
It's hard to imagine somebody that tall not being seen in a room or being ignored, you know. I mean, everybody wants to talk to Kareem, you know.
Yeah.
You would think anyway.
Let's go to the phones. Catherine is on the line here. Good morning, Catherine. We're here with Mike.
You know, I just love when Mike comes in. I kind of look forward to Wednesday's hump day as the day that Mike settles in my soul all the positive so I can go through the rest of my week and get through it. And here you are bringing up my grandmother that I didn't pay enough attention to. Saying the same stuff my dad said, which is I don't feel that old and I didn't hear him right.
Yeah.
Right. God bless Mike. Make me feel good now.
Yeah.
Happy hump day, Catherine.
But it's still hard to deal with, you know, now that, you know, they're gone and we can't make up for what we have suddenly realized ourselves. Mm. You know, it's kind of tough to deal with, you know. I guess maybe
if we're lucky to live to a good old age, we have that opportunity to pass through all these phases of life.
Yeah.
And if you live right, you can't help but acquire some wisdom along the way. And unfortunately, when you're young, you think you've got all the answers. You think you got everything figured out. You've got no doubt about anything.
Yeah.
And so you don't turn to those older relatives and benefit from their wisdom that they've acquired over all those phases of life that they've gone through, because you don't have any idea about the phases that face you that are coming up in life.
And you sometimes assume that they're not keeping up to date on everything, all the information, but they are.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's sad when you run into people who are older who are really just living in the past. And it's almost like they won't accept the here and now.
They won't take it.
What's wonderful is when you have, you know, the older people who are very much living in the here and now, but benefiting from all the experience they have from those earlier phases of life. And to me, that's what I mean when if you live right, if you don't just reside in the past, if you meet the present head on and accept all of the challenges that come with modern life. And hell, you know, my parents both died without ever having turned on a computer. Mm, yeah. I encountered my first computer in college. My son has grown up never not knowing computers. He never knew the absence of computers. That's an amazing change over the course of a couple of generations. But you know, I didn't encounter them until college, but I don't want to be a Luddite either. I want to accept that we live in this advanced technological age.
That's right.
And you want to master it as best you can. But man, I feel pretty ill-equipped when compared to the young people who've never not known computers and smartphones and all that kind of business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they act like they know everything if they take a day off from the computer. You know? Well, I don't need the computer.
Well, and speaking as somebody who's up there in years, it is refreshing every once in a while when you have a younger person or a middle-aged person come to you asking for maybe a little bit of, you know, that actually, you know, wants some advice from you or wants some guidance.
Yeah,
it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I just had an opportunity to do a Zoom call with a McAllister College student in St. Paul, who's from St. Louis, grew up in the city, but is really interested in rural life and wanted to pick my brain. Her professor, her advisor, put her in touch with me because we had been in the Peace Corps together, the professor and I. And so we talked for over an hour, and she was just curious about what rural life was and what my upbringing was like, and that's fun. But I also love the opportunity to make that connection with a 20-something, and hear what is going on in her head and why she became interested in rural life. She grew up in St. Louis, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, you know, I made visits out to a farm. I told you this. I baled hay, and it was one of the great experiences of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just loved doing it. So you know, there's that difference between city life and country life, and it was always just, and it was really interesting to experience both. But you know, we carry all of this information with us. We're founts of information for our kids. And one of the great things I'm thankful for is that I have two Gen Zers who are living at our home yet. They're renting. They have their own places. But they're living there, and I get to talk to them every day. I hear what they're talking about. I understand, you know, the topics that they're into, the drive that they have to improve the country, make it better.
Yep.
They're not looking back. They don't have anything to look back to.
Yep. Keeps you a bit younger.
It does. It really does.
And I'm 65 now. And I tell you, one of the things that I find so fascinating about advancing age is how I become so much more aware, seemingly with each passing day, of how much I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And how much I have to learn about the world, about what makes people tick, still, even after all the acquired experience and all the phases of life that you go through, I am more acutely aware now than I think I was when I was younger about how much I don't know. And that's important for all of us to understand that we don't know everything. We don't have all the answers, and we need to be curious about each other's perspectives and each other's experiences because we can learn so much.
Yeah,
from
I don't want to stop
learning. And I'm talking
learning.
To CJ that, when that, I say that.
I know. We're going to leave it there. Mike
Absolutely.
McCabe, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next Wednesday.
All right.
Check out Mike on Substack. There's great articles there. Tomorrow on the show, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils and Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. That'll do it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
Let the sun shine. Is the John Gordon.